VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, for multiple decades, we've heard the mantra of having clean air and clean water. We've all seen those public service announcements coming through on that. We hear that from administration to administration. As a result, environmental policies are set. And I'm looking at a new special report that has recently been issued. And under the current Trump administration, crystal clean water is a priority, wanting Americans to have the cleanest air and water in the world for generations. And yet daily, our waterways are being contaminated by chemical abortion drugs and human remains as American women who are left alone at home to endure the agonizing process of expelling their pregnancy are often instructed by abortion providers to dispose of their aborted child's remains down the toilet. The report I'm speaking of is titled Abortion in Our Water, Chemical Home Abortions and the Disposition of Aborted Fetal Remains. Ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be an urgent national alarm over the environmental consequences of chemical abortions. We also know that abortion takes a human life. But let's also talk about the environmental consequences of chemical abortions. Joining us today in discussion, we first want to welcome John Stemberger, President of Liberty Council Action and Senior Counsel of Liberty Council. He's also been a Conservative Party advocate for over 30 years. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be with you.
Also, we have Abigail Foreman, who is Public Policy Analyst and a writer for Liberty Council Action. She's a former Minnesota State Legislator and former Director of Public Policy for Right to Life UK. She's a primary author of a groundbreaking academic white paper exposing the horror of aborted babies from chemical abortions being flushed into our water system. And Abigail, thank you for joining us as well.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
So we're going to have you chime in both as you can in these questions here. And first of all, I'd like to know, what is the backstory to this report? How did this report come about? Who was the brainchild behind this?
Well, the bottom line is this. Over time, in the year 2000, chemical abortions were first approved by the Federal Drug Administration. That was a very small percentage of all the abortions. Today, it represents somewhere between 64% to 70% of all abortions. According to the Guttmacher Institute, it's about 63%, 64%. However, we know there's a lot that's not reported, and these numbers are rising. So we believe a good estimate is about 70% of all abortions. Well, that's 700,000 women are being instructed by an abortion provider to take a pill that's going to basically force their child to die and then force them in the toilet. They're instructing them to give birth to fetal remains, their poor baby, in the toilet. And then that is flushed. That goes into septic tanks and the city water treatment plants. And there's two problems created by this, which Abigail is going to get into. Number one, the fetal remains themselves. Mm-hmm. We're talking about somewhere between 30 to 40 tons of human waste, biohazard waste, going into toilets, going into the city water treatment plants. These were never designed to handle this kind of biohazard waste. Mm-hmm. I hate to be so graphic and dehumanize the child, but it's also biohazard waste in addition to a poor baby getting killed and flushed down the toilet. Mm-hmm. And then the second issue is the mifepristone, which Abigail can talk about more, and that is a lethal drug which basically kills the progesterone in the mother's body, destroys it so that the child dies immediately.
And is it true that some women would even take these drugs not knowing whether they're expecting or not?
I think that's probably true. You know, if they're concerned, they might be. They could certainly get the chemical abortion pill mm-hmm. because there's not a lot of regulation on it. They can get them illegally online. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's true.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk about its impact there, but we know that to put a road in some place or a home or to add a business, there's always environmental assessments that have to be made. In all that led up to the authorization release of this abortion pill, was there ever any consideration given to its impact on the environment itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, in 2000, like John had said, the drug was approved, and it was approved based on a 1996 environmental assessment that was conducted by the Population Council. The Population Council itself, the folks that submitted the drug application for mifepristone, is obviously quite a biased entity, right? They have some of their leaders have been tied to the eugenicist movement, so they're obviously very, I'm going to say they're not scientifically integrous, but at any rate, what they did with their assessment was look at the excretion of the pill by patients, the disposing of unused pills and packaging, as well as manufacturing plant emissions. So they said, you know, taking all these things into account, we think, as the Population Council, the effect on the environment is going to be minimal.
Mm-hmm.
They did not actually study the environmental impacts that the drug or the fetal remains could have. No actual environmental study was conducted. You know, I mentioned the excretion of the drug by patients. What they did was they estimated what that would be in the environment. And because they estimated that it would be minimal, they said, okay, we're good. And the FDA, unfortunately, at the time under the Clinton administration, agreed with them. The FDA failed to do its own environmental assessment as well. Essentially, what they did was take the word of the Population Council, wrote a one-pager that basically said, we agree with them, and so we're going to approve this drug based on this environmental assessment. But this clearly lacked not only scientific integrity, but also failed to adhere to the Clean Water Act and the National Environmental Policy Act, as well as various state medical waste regulations. Just more specifically, and you know, I can stop me if you have questions, but essentially, the Clean Water Act outlines that each agency engaged in any activity resulting in, or which may result in, so it doesn't even have to result in, but it may result in the discharge or the runoff of pollutants, shall be subject to and comply with all federal and state laws respecting the control and abatement of water pollution. And so if you're approving a drug that could result in a substance that may pollute our water, which obviously this drug does, because you're generating, as John said, we don't like to use the term medical or pathological waste, but unfortunately that is the reality. Even if you don't agree with us that it's a life, at the very least it constitutes what the Clean Water Act, what the EPA would define as medical waste, which includes human blood and body parts, you know, developing cranial structures, things of that nature. And if that is going into the water supply, there's absolutely a risk of pollution. And same with the mifepristone, the tablets that John mentioned. These things are both biological and chemical waste that, if they're improperly disposed of, may result in the discharge of pollutants. And remember, like I said, that the Clean Water Act says it, you know, it may result in the discharge of pollutants. You need to ensure that you're adhering to all state and federal laws on the same, which they did not do.
Yeah, and I find
largely that, because, you know,
they
just didn't even consider fetal remains.
Right, didn't even consider fetal remains going into our water system, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about the issue at all. If they did a proper environmental assessment, they would have addressed that issue. Ideally, then they would have realized, oh, we should probably not approve this drug, and that, you know, at the very least, mitigate the effects of it by requiring a woman to stay in the clinic until the entire contents of her uterus are expelled, rather than, you know, directing her to go home and sit on the toilet and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And John, and as you mentioned, this is, I mean, when this first came out here, you know, a quarter of a century ago, and you, I know you've got a graph on your site too, but the chemical abortions are surging. I mean, I saw at lifenews.com June 23rd, 2025, in which they say the sales of abortion pills by mail are surging, even getting into pro-life states due to the increase in telemedicine. This is just really taking off, and there's no, you know, looking at this as slowing down at all.
And we see in European countries, the chemical abortion pill is skyrocketing well over American numbers, and in some Scandinavian countries, it's the only form of abortion that's available. So this clearly is the trend. The irony of this is that, you know, the EPA says you can't even flush a baby wipe down a toilet, but yet we're putting literal babies down the toilet
yeah.
that have complex, you know, cranial structure. They've got you know, various cartilage developing, placenta, blood, and all of this is going down with the mifepristone, this lethal chemical, that stays in the water. Mifepristone does not just dissolve. A lot of drugs, when you take them, they dissolve through the body, but mifepristone forms, when it goes through the body, three active metabolites. And those maintain their therapeutic effects. In other words, they can still destroy progesterone in the water. What we don't know is how much water do you have to drink before it's going to affect something like infertility rates or even a miscarriage. We don't know any of this because it hasn't been studied. And we're asking the White House, look, you've made it clear, President Trump, you want crystal clear water. He's also made it clear he has a nuanced position on chemical abortion. He's not going to shut that down. We're asking him to look at this issue because this is an issue. If you look at it, you can't unsee it.
Right.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So we want him to struggle with the tension between clean water and the chemical abortion pill. And we believe that they're taking a good faith look at that now. In addition to Congress, we're trying to appeal to them as well to do hearings, to study the matter, and to look deeper at this.
You know, there are some individuals listening who say, well, how is taking an abortion pill any different than somebody taking, a blood pressure medication or medication to lower one's cholesterol or taking this or taking that for different things? How is this different or unique, or is it not?
Well, that's a great question. Again, the most obvious way that it's unique and different is that it generates medical waste. It's the only drug on the market. It's a unique, when it was introduced in 2000, it was a novel drug that required the woman who takes the pill to then dispose of the medical waste, the placenta, the fetal remains that were generated. So that's one aspect. The other thing, obviously, is its lethal nature. It causes the death of a child. No other drug on the market is doing that in the same way. And so, what John had mentioned before, how this drug affects your progesterone levels, it blocks progesterone, which is a vital fertility hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a drug blocking progesterone and then its active metabolites may be retaining the therapeutic effect of that drug, and those active metabolites go through the wastewater treatment plant. They are not designed to remove this sort of contamination. These metabolites are getting into the water supply. There have been reports of mifepristone in fresh and salt water, so that we know it can be in our water supply. And we also know that drinking water treatment plants are not designed to remove this sort of chemical contamination. And so it's very likely that it could be getting into our drinking water. And so then consider, the fertility crisis that's happening in our nation. We see at the same time as chemical abortion is increasing, there is a decrease in fertility. The last several decades, we've seen a decrease in fertility globally. 1 in 6 are affected by infertility, and the U.S. is not exempt from this crisis. In fact, Secretary Kennedy, when he was on the campaign trail, promised to look at this issue, and he promised to investigate it by looking at and evaluating certain things, including endocrine disruptors. So I mentioned already that, and John mentioned, that the mifepristone pill and its metabolites are blocking progesterone, which is a vital fertility hormone. Endocrine disruptors are those things that affect your hormones, that can mimic and affect your hormones. And these things are potentially causing adverse effects in human and animal health, and I can get into that a little bit more as well.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with John Stemberger and Abigail Foreman from Liberty Action and talking about abortion in our water. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how much can scientists tell about an animal from its fossils?
Chris, they can tell quite a bit, but oftentimes they claim too much. Let me give you an example. Recently, a few fragments of teeth were found in Morocco of a mammal no bigger than a small dog. But the evolutionary discoverers claim that it was of a small elephant. Evidently, the molars were more similar to elephant molars than anything else. But they didn't stop there. They claim that this particular elephant didn't even have a trunk, and that he hid in trees and hunted at night. Cut me some slack. How can they tell this from a few tooth fragments? Now, I'm not sure what this animal was, but I'm quite certain you can't look at a tooth and know all that. Evolutionists should stop telling evolutionary stories and get back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more info on Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. John Stemberger with us today, president of Liberty Counsel Action, and Abigail Foreman, public policy analyst and a writer for Liberty Counsel Action. And we're talking about a paper that's been released here. Actually, it's a white paper, a very comprehensive report, Abortion in Our Water, Chemical Home Abortions, and the Disposition of Aborted Fetal Remains. Friends, there are going to be some action points on the program today, how you can get engaged with this as well. So make sure you have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or a pencil that you can write down some information. Abigail, you were just in the midst of explaining further about this whole this process here and how it's impacting. Are you seeing that there is a link between the growing infertility today and what we see the abortion pill being put into our water systems?
What we're saying is there's a clear correlation. And so we don't know if there's causation, but we know there's a clear correlation between the increased use of the chemical abortion pill, which blocks progesterone, a vital fertility hormone, both for men and women. Mm-hmm. This vital fertility hormone that mifepristone blocks could be its active metabolites that could be getting into our drinking water supply. And if they are, that is a huge cause for concern, because we know that, you know, over time, low doses of other similar endocrine disruptors. I was talking about how, any substance, a chemical substance that interferes with, blocks, or mimics your body's natural hormone process is known as an endocrine disruptor. We know that these other endocrine disruptors are affecting human health adversely by, developmental malformations. There's increased cancer risks, as well as reproductive risks and interference with reproduction. And so, like I said, RFK, Secretary Kennedy, has promised to look at the infertility crisis, including by looking at endocrine disruptors. And because mifepristone is a potential endocrine disruptor, this, you know, affecting the way the body's hormones work, make mifepristone a key component of that investigation, because we think it's very clear this correlation should be raising red flags. You know, we should be raising our eyebrows and saying, wow, that's interesting, that as we're increasing the use of the chemical abortion pill, we see increased infertility in Americans.
And indeed, so the chemicals are being expelled from the woman taking these drugs. We also see the remains of the fetal remains that are being flushed down into the system. And there are those who would, and I'm going to have you revisit something you said in that first segment, because many people think that the wastewater treatment plant will just nullify any contaminants, including the chemicals in this pill or the remains of a child. But this is not how they were designed, is it? I mean, they're not really filtering everything out, are they?
Again, it's really good that we're drilling down on this. Sorry, John, do you want to?
Yeah, I was going to say they're not. And secondly, if you think about a surgical abortion, which most people think about, which is not the majority of the case now, mm-hmm. they have to hire medical waste, biohazardous waste companies that come. You saw the movie Unplanned. They come with a big barrel, and they put this stuff, you know, in case, and they incinerate it, right, appropriately, as they do with others. Think about a hospital. A hospital just couldn't flush things down the toilet. I mean, it would be a national scandal if this happened. But yet hundreds and thousands of abortion providers, both chemical abortion companies and abortion providers, local brick and mortar, are telling women to give birth to their dead babies in the toilet. So they're basically using water treatment plants and sewer systems as medical waste treatment plants, bypassing state law and federal regulations regarding all of this. And so it's really, in any other context, this would be considered a national scandal. But unfortunately, anytime abortion is mentioned, it's like, oh, no, we have to just let this go. Well, we cannot let this go. If this is polluting our water, if this is actually happening, and we believe that it is happening, we just don't know the extent of which is happening because the government has not studied it, we have to take action. By the way, the report and all the materials are available
at abortioninourwater.org. That's abortioninourwater.org. We have memes, we have videos, all the materials that we have are available in abortioninourwater.org.
Friends, including action points here as well. Let me repeat that. It's abortioninourwater.org. And you can download the report. You can read it for yourself. Those of you who are technically minded, you're going to be challenged there as well. And yet a layman can understand the very precepts that are coming through and the documents that are there, even summary sheets on the report itself. Abortioninourwater.org. And if I heard you correctly, Abigail, you mentioned that contaminants have actually been found in drinking water?
Specifically, mifepristone contaminants have been found in the drinking water supply, in freshwater and saltwater. So because we know, like I had mentioned, that drinking water treatment plants are not equipped, not all of them, the conventional ones aren't equipped to fully remove all these contaminants, similar contaminants like PFAS or forever chemicals, they get through into our drinking water. So we think it's very likely that this is in our drinking water supply.
Yeah, and I find it just grotesque as well, but we're going to mention it. In your white paper, you even talk about an individual who was trying to unclog some pipes, and what did they find in Texas?
Yeah, great question. So in an apartment complex in Texas, a tenant was working to unclog a pipe and found the remains of a fetus inside. It's really tragic when you consider that, this person, obviously unsuspecting, just happened to come across a baby, essentially, and that can be traumatic. In fact, it wasn't just in Texas. This has happened in wastewater treatment facilities, numerous wastewater treatment facilities. It seems to be a rising trend that they're finding fetal remains caught in different filtration processes at wastewater treatment plants. And I know at least one of these stories where the workers that found the baby, the fetal remains, were traumatized, because why wouldn't you be? It's a shocking thing to encounter, seeing these fetal remains caught in the screens and things of that nature that are meant to be filtering out things like sticks, right? And instead they're filtering out babies. And this is just a tragic reality that we need to be looking at, we need to be addressing. I would also just say, while obviously the fetal remains entering the facility are caught and processed, I would say that various different localities and municipalities have laws against flushing things of a certain size. Like in Florida, you're not meant to flush anything down the toilet that's over like half an inch to an inch. Fetal remains can easily be that. Up to 10 weeks, you're allowed legally to use the abortion pill, but we know that women use it beyond that because they're not required to go get an ultrasound. And so the size of the fetal remains, and again, I hate to be so graphic, I have to kind of separate my emotional brain with my logical brain as I talk about this, because if not, it's almost debilitating to think about. But the size of the fetal remains entering the pipes is going to vary based on the gestational age, and that's as a whole other thing to think about, is the illegal use of these pills at later gestational ages.
I believe. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, every time that the government has made a change in this, the law required them to do another environmental assessment. So there's been at least, six or seven changes in the law. Some of the major, like to move the pill authority from 7 weeks to 10 weeks. Well, that creates more mass, more volume of more children going down the drain, more mifepristone. They never studied it at all. And we're simply saying, look, we've got it. We can't turn our heads. We've now got, I know we have a president that has a nuanced position with the abortion issue, but he is fully committed to clean water. He has to look at this. The EPA has to look at this. The FDA has to look at this. You know, the FDA, they were interested in just how the pill affected the individual, right? They completely didn't even think about, this woman has to give birth. This is going to go into the water. That's an environmental issue, which then the EPA should be looking at. But both of them kind of just looking at each other going, I'm saying it's like looking at each other. But both of these agencies need to be held accountable. I realize these are sins from the past, so to speak, but we now have clear-minded secretaries in both the EPA and the FDA. So this is something that they have to look at, and we're asking them at the highest levels to look at it.
And these, And these pills, I mean, their use and their availability is just going off the charts. June 19th, the Daily Caller News Foundation able to order these abortion pills under former President Biden. They removed the requirement that they give this drug in person. They allowed for mail orders to take place. In just a matter of minutes, the Daily Caller News Foundation obtained 5 sets of this medication simply by filling out the online medical forms that were created by providers. And it is just so readily accessible to anybody who wants to fill out the document.
Absolutely. You know, and I would just, you know, think about as well, then what does that mean for, you know, folks that are involved in sex trafficking and things of that nature? It's atrocious on so many levels, and other aspects of that have been, you know, looked into. Our focus being the environmental aspect, you know, like I say, just consider if that's the case, you can get these pills just by filling out a form that quickly. You know, there have been cases of chemical abortions at, you know, beyond 20 weeks, and a baby can survive at 22 weeks. This is a national catastrophe on so many levels, and at the environmental level, we're just saying, like, hey, even if you disagree with us that abortion is taking a human life, can you at least agree that we shouldn't be contaminating our water with it?
The EPA keeps a list of possible harmful water contaminants for periodic review. Has mifepristone ever been considered for this list?
Not that we're aware of. You know, although we do know, and you're probably aware of this as well, that several members of Congress led a letter to the EPA, Senator Langford and Representative Josh Perkin, led a letter to the EPA asking them some of those similar questions and calling on them to look at mifepristone and its byproducts in our water.
Yeah. Well, you've identified a huge problem here, and I'd like to know, where do we go from here? And, John, we'll start with you and add in then Abigail. Where do we go from here? What needs to happen? And really, it boils down to, what can our listeners do to be engaged in this battle for clean water?
Well, first of all, education. Up till just recently, there's only been one or two organizations even addressing this, and a handful of John the Baptist kind of crying in the wilderness.
Yeah.
We need every single citizen to understand this issue, to understand that 70,000 abortions are happening a year in the toilet, going into the wastewater. Students for Life estimates that's between 30 to 40 tons a year of medical waste, fetal remains, babies going into the toilet with mifepristone. It's tragic and it's scandalous. So, number one, get education. Go to abortioninourwater.org. Read the report. We have short reports, long reports. Put stuff on social media. We have memes. We have one-pagers where you can see the whole thing in one diagram. We need people to get educated. Number two, take action. Talk to your congressman. We think that we need to have a congressional hearing. It's a scandal that this is not being talked about in a larger way. No major news media has covered it. It's just kind of silent, right? So we need to have a congressional hearing so that it can get in the mainstream media and that Joe Lunchbucket and Sally Susan can understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
We have been actively communicating with all levels of government, including agencies on this, and are using our contacts to further that. But the public needs to be outraged and needs to be educated.
Tell you what, we're up against a break, and I'm going to also have Abigail weigh in on this as well. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. John Stemberger and Abigail Horman are with us from Liberty Counsel Action, and right down the website, abortioninourwater.org, abortioninourwater.org. And it is gross, it is horrendous what is going on, and indeed, Congress needs to hold hearings on this. Let the information come forth. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinsohn team up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, overviews of major empires, the life of Christ, God's judgments, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. It's a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike. Charting the Bible Chronologically. Available for a donation of $30 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, and friends, a very important topic today, abortion in our water. It's a white paper, and it is very comprehensive, a special report on chemical home abortions and the disposition of aborted fetal remains. And our guest here today, John Stemberger and Abigail Foreman, who represent Liberty Counsel Action, coming together along with others that have collaborated on this report to make it known. How many of you have social media pages where you can say, hey, just learned about this today, and send a link to abortioninourwater.org, abortioninourwater.org? John had recommended the aspect of reaching out to your member of Congress, but first of all, get informed yourself, get educated on this and educate others. Contact your own congressman, say, hey, hearings need to be held on this. You can reach out to your member of Congress at 202-224-3121, the House or Senate. You can call and ask to speak to your own legislator and really demand that there be hearings on this very aspect. They need information. Send them a link. Send them a link to abortioninourwater.org. Highly, highly documented in this paper. Abigail, John had just given us some information a bit ago here on the aspect of being informed, taking action, reaching out to members of Congress. This does need to be exposed. Anything else you want to add to that on a federal level, and what about on a state level?
Absolutely. So at a federal level, what we would hope is that congressional hearings lead to the initiation of gold standard research. Gold standard research is something that the Trump administration has reinstated, basically requiring that any federal decisions adhere to a standard of science that is, for example, subject to unbiased peer review, which we know the mifepristone pill was not. And so, you know, if we're going to hold hearings on this, we need the information. We need to know what is in our water, what could we be drinking. And so gold standard research on mifepristone and its metabolites and the byproducts, the medical waste that's being put into our water needs to be conducted. Specifically, we need to know is it or how is it affecting ecosystems, aquatic life, and is it or how is it affecting human health, mm-hmm. particularly fertility. And so we would also argue, you know, that the research on this that we're calling the federal government to do is a natural complement to research that's already been promised. I mentioned Secretary Kennedy's promise to investigate infertility, but also Secretary Kennedy has directed the commissioner of the FDA to do a complete review of mifepristone and report back. I would argue a complete review of mifepristone would include a proper, legally compliant environmental assessment that was never completed in the first instance. It absolutely should be completed now. And just a final note on this, you know, the Make America Healthy Again Commission report, which probably a lot of folks have heard about, basically has a recommendation at the end of it to map gene-environment interactions affecting childhood disease and risk, especially for pollutants, endocrine disruptors, and pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
Well, mifepristone falls into all three of those categories. And so when folks are advocating to their legislator, make sure they point out, we're not actually asking you to do a whole lot more than you've already promised to do. We're asking you to make the environmental impact of mifepristone and its byproducts a feature of some of the things that are already underway and already promised. And then the state issue is similar to the federal level, but basically you want to ask your state and local lawmakers, what are the specific medical waste regulations in our state? What are the specific fetal disposition laws? You know, some states actually require interment or burial, cremation of fetal remains, although that usually applies to surgical abortions. But all states have regulated medical waste laws and regulations that require medical waste to be be disposed of properly. So say, hey, are we adhering to all these? Are abortion providers in our state adhering to all these and making sure that the fetal remains are disposed of properly? Because I can wager, I guess, they're not. And so you want to ask your state lawmakers to just take a look at that and see if they can enforce laws already on the books or pass laws to ensure that these chemical contaminants and fetal remains are being disposed of properly.
Friends, our phone number on Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 as we make our phone lines available here for our guests dealing with this matter of abortion in our water. What is your reaction to this, friends? 800-733-9829. Just before we pick up our first call, let me ask you, John, there's another aspect to all of this, and that is women are being injured by the pill. Many have entered emergency rooms and hospitals this past Monday night. This past Monday night, the House Appropriations Committee included a statement approving the FDA's review of mifepristone in its markup of the fiscal year 2026 Agriculture Appropriations Bill. Democrats on this committee tried to block this amendment. Should this be a partisan issue?
Yeah, no. Listen, chemical abortions are exponentially more harmful than even a surgical abortion. And I hate to compare two really bad things. But think about it. First of all, the active agency is not a doctor acting upon you. You're acting upon yourself. You are putting the deadly poison pill in your mouth. You are all alone. There's no medical attendance. There's no nurse, no doctor. You're in your bathroom giving birth to your own dead baby, which you can literally see and interact with in the toilet. So you're talking about a very traumatic, psychologically, the trauma here is exponentially more.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting some reports that even women are going to hotel rooms to do this. Because this is not just one and done. This is something that takes for days. If you saw Abby Johnson's movie, she was on the floor rolling, hemorrhaging for days and days between the shower and the toilet and back and forth. It's a bloody mess. It's just a horrible experience. There's no one there to be with you, right? And so the doctors are just saying, hey, take the pill and go, right? And so in some states, you don't even have a doctor. You can just mail the pill.
Right.
And that's and then the bathroom becomes the trigger point for the rest of your life. The bathroom, place that should be of normal safety and security and sanity, is a trigger point for this horrible bloody act that you committed. It just makes it so much more traumatic than even the surgical abortion. And we can't forget that, because the rates of hospital visits exponentially climbed 500% of the last 10 years. Many of the hospitals are not really recording this. They're saying, oh, it's either the woman's lying and saying, oh, it's a miscarriage, or the ER is just not asking. And they're saying, oh, it's a miscarriage. But many of these are actually chemical abortions when they go to the hospital.
Again, friends, our phone number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Your reaction to the information you're learning today, 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Paul. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Hello. Paul from Cameron?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, I'm on the air. Yes, sometimes these abortions can be even recommended by churches.
Yeah.
I had somewhat had a tussle with a pastor once that I was actually going out and had gotten a woman pregnant out of wedlock. Well, that was not the issue. We were much planning a wedding, and we got into a heated discussion, and he said, well, if she is pregnant, meaning... He stopped there, but I'd known pretty much what he meant was either the child would be given up for adoption, where we could not at all afford it to support it, and I know we could have, or the only other option would have been abortion, and he will be judged by God for that one day, is all I'm saying with it. I can't judge him myself. I can't even judge myself, but
well,
certainly I think it caused her to be infertile, and we lost the baby.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Paul, in regard to that, but and thank you for the call. Let me just mention that, sadly, there are denominations and churches that are just kind of blinking their eyes at this, and that's a tragedy as well, John.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I know we're not talking about faith. We're talking about science and medical industry and all that.
Right.
But the bottom line is this taking of a human life that's made in the image and likeness of God, and whether it's chemical abortion or surgical abortion, it's an abomination.
Right. Our phone number here, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Barbara next in Kansas. Barbara, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for this program. This issue has been bothering me for a couple of weeks now. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Barbara, we can hardly hear you, so right and close to your mouthpiece.
Oh, well, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that the first mention of a plague with blood in the water appears in Exodus 7.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, I know we have politicians who think that it's just perfectly all right to do these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But how is this going to cause some kind of plague or pandemic for the whole United States?
Thank you for the
thank
call.
You.
Thank you. Let me just ask you this. And some would argue saying, well, how is this any different than like a miscarriage in which perhaps the remains of the woman who miscarries and it goes through that same system into the water system as well? Is there a difference or is it one of the same thing? Andrew?
I'm happy to answer that question. So essentially there are two issues with that. And we would argue they're vastly different. Obviously in one instance, it's not intentional. It's not wanted. And it's tragic. Also in a miscarriage, you don't have chemically tainted fetal remains. And so, you know, oftentimes expectant moms suffering the loss of a baby are going to go to the hospital. They're going to get treatment in accordance with all state and local laws. But even for those that don't, not all of them, I would say, believe you're very few, are going to willingly flush their baby down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a chemical abortion, you now are chemically tainting those fetal remains with mifepristone metabolites and the pill itself. And, you know, you're directing a woman to flush the baby down the toilet. This is irresponsible on so many levels, but, you know, in the case of it's also planned. So because, you know, you know what's going to happen, you have the opportunity to mitigate the harmful effects that it could have on our water supply.
Yeah. We've got John calling from the state of Minnesota. John, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm just calling to ask you, were you aware of that movie Soylent Green? They're putting it in our food, too. They're putting dead humans in our food, too, and
okay.
We're eating it.
Let's stay on a topic here today, because there's
okay.
All kinds of things here with water supply. Do you have a question for our guest on this topic here of abortion in our water?
Yeah, is it this really happening? How can we do this? Can we get in touch with our senators and our congressmen?
Yeah. And
go to the website abortioninourwater.org, abortioninourwater.org, and with one click, you can send a fax, which is a physical piece of paper, into every congressman and every senator's office and various agencies. So go to abortioninourwater.org, and those action steps are right there, along with materials to educate you more.
Yeah, there are action steps available, but you're saying that just by a click of a button, they can send a fax or an alert? Wow.
Correct.
Okay, again, that's abortioninourwater.org. Let's try and squeeze in another call before our break. Susan in Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. I wish you could see the look on my face right now. This listening to this is just making me sick.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. It's making me sick. Just for all the hell that abortion is causing, it seems to me that it's just easier just to have the baby and give it up for adoption. I mean, all the hell that it's creating for the women and the environment, and not to mention, using an Eastern term, bad karma that these people are creating for themselves by doing this. Just have the baby and give it up for adoption. I'll never boil a beans and water again from the tap. I can't tell you. It's nauseating. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll take the break and get some further comment from our guest and additional calls from you as well at 800-733-9829. Friends, marked on the website, that's where it begins. Education, the information, abortioninourwater.org. And then help inform others regarding this as well. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewtube.com. President Trump used our military to strike the nuclear facilities of Iran in Iran on Saturday evening, as we all now know. Americans are divided as to whether there was a national interest issue there for us to get involved in the Middle East. And now America and the world waits to see if there's going to be a broader Middle Eastern war. Well, let me just put on my Bible prophecy hat. One of the things I am seeing is this. Israel flexing some major muscle with some help from America. But Israel has been pounding Iran all on its own. And this makes me wonder if the reputation for Israel will be that they are a major superpower now in the Middle East and will be seen as such. Thus, any nation that wants to come against them will have to build a coalition to do it. And yet, isn't that what we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a coalition of nations? We may not like what we see happening in the Middle East or anywhere in the world. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, Abortion in Our Water. Our topic today, John Stenberger and Abigail Foreman with us from Liberty Counsel Action. And a call right before the break, John and Abigail just simply said, you know, I'm just completely grossed out by this. And you know, I can't help but think about this as I turn on my water in my home. That's what it should have, Abigail, that kind of reaction to us. I mean, we should actually be repulsed by this.
Absolutely. You know, John has said several times, and I agree wholeheartedly, once you learn about this, you can't unlearn it.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I started digging into this research myself. I look at the water bottle I hold in my hand, and I just start praying, because that's what we need. You know, we need to see a change in what's happening, because it is disturbing. It's on many levels.
Let's go to Pastor A.B. in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for the show that you have it today. I have the organization Terry One Hour,
mm-hmm.
and America has become a nation of death. No nation can survive killing off its offspring. Our offspring is our future.
Yeah,
and because of the Bible says in the last day they will be selfish and conceited, as they are. Today, they are destroying this nation. God is warning us. He warning everybody how evil this child sacrifice is affecting us.
Yeah.
We sit back and watch the lives of these children being taken away from everything from birth control to the physical abortion.
Yeah.
We say it's nothing about it. It's no outrage. We just had a new clinic that's opened up, a new child sacrifice center opened up in Milwaukee that makes three, and that was no outrage. It was a few Christians out there, but if we could have got one-third of the so-called evangelist, the church out there, that would have been able to shut it down. But the problem is this is God's warning us. God is still giving us mercy to turn this back around. We need to contact the church. We need to contact our legislators. We need to contact our neighbors. We need to make this a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I thank you for your guest today because we need to keep this subject in the public eye.
We do. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Jim, for your wonderful shows, programs that you have. And trying to save lives and souls for the kingdom of Christ.
Thank you so much. Let me ask you, John, on this aspect. Many times people say, well, what you do in the privacy of your home, you know, that's between you and whatever you're going to do, or the privacy of, you know, your bathroom or whatever. But this ought to impact every American.
That's right. That's exactly right. Everybody has an interest in clean water. And the scary part is just because your water is clear, that doesn't mean a thing. We don't know what's in it,
mm-hmm.
and we need to know what's in it.
Yeah.
And they're studying everything except for this. This chemical is uniquely lethal. It is uniquely producing biohazard waste at an exponential rate that's growing. And so we have to study this. We have to sound the alarm. We cannot let government sit back and go business as usual on the abortion issue. It's more traumatic to the woman exponentially. The psychological trauma to her of having to interact with her dead baby in the toilet and the blood for days and days and hemorrhaging and all that is horrific, not to mention the impact of the water. Chemical abortion just needs to be completely halted in America. At a very minimum, they should allow surgical abortions. I hate to even say that, but in terms of comparison, there's no comparison. Chemical abortion is just horrible.
Yeah, and everyone, as you said, that destroys a human life, and we are made in the image of God, and yet we are seeing that it's like evil upon evil. Let's go to William in Florence, Kentucky. William, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your guests that you have on today. I'm a man with 6 children and 9 grandbabies, and none of us believe in abortion. But anyway, your air, your water, and your food, that is so much and so important and everything. And I've done plumbing work, and I know that all the elbows and all the things that are in the plumbing pipes and all that can't handle that mess like that. So we're just corrupting ourselves, like the Bible says, in the last days. And I just wanted to call in and say, Maranatha, and Lord Jesus, come quickly. And thank you, Jim, and everybody that you have on to share this with us. God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Let me squeeze in also Paul in Wisconsin. Paul, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for bringing this to light. We really appreciate you guys getting the public to know what's going on here. I just want to share, a few months ago, I had run across a radio program talking about this birth pill, and a young lady had taken it, and the baby died, but she couldn't pass the baby, so it went septic, and in turn, the mom went septic, and then both ended up dying. And
so
that thing needs to be brought to light, too, for girls considering doing this.
Right. Great, good point. Thank you, Paul. And John, that's what you brought up as well, is the psychological, the physical implications of taking the pill.
It's horrendous.
Yeah. We're down to just a little over a minute and a half, and I want to give both of you an opportunity to give us some concluding thoughts. We'll be beginning with Abigail, but friends, let me again mention the website abortioninourwater.org. Again, to be informed, then to take action, inform others on this, connect with your congressman on this, to hold congressional hearings on this very aspect. So as we boil things down here to our topic today, Abigail, what do you want to leave with our listeners?
In addition to advocating, educating yourself and reaching out to your state and federal lawmakers, I would say we need to be praying. Hmm. We need to be talking to folks.
Yeah.
Talk to your friends and family about this. Post on social media. We can end chemical abortion in our lifetime, but we can't do it alone. So I would just ask everybody listening, please join us in this fight,
Amen.
Both on your knees and in your communications with your friends and family.
John?
I can't improve upon that. That's exactly correct. Let me say it again. We can end chemical abortion in our lifetime. If we work together, there's so many reasons why it's horrible. It's not in the best interest of women, the children that are destroyed, or the best interest of society as a whole in terms of the environment. Even fish are potentially affected by this.
Oh, my.
And so it affects seafood. It's just a horrible thing. We have to study it. We have to ban it. We have to know what's going on.
And friends, we got to get to the bottom of this, and that's where congressional hearings are so important, to bring in the experts in dealing with this very aspect and put that public testimony before the people of the United States of America. John and Abigail, thank you both for joining us here on the broadcast today.
Thanks,
thank you. It's been an honor.
Friends, again, let me just mention their website. Write it down. Learn about this yourself, and then pass the information on through the channels that only you have. You can reach people I can't reach, but you have the opportunity to do that. Check it out at abortioninourwater.org, and you'll have opportunity there to see the action points, read the research, and just remember that God instructs us in His Word to choose life. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.